What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Golden Age, a diehard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Good to see you, friend.
And you, pal. Now listen, let's just get it out of the way. The big game was last night. Your boys were in the Europa League final. Now, sorry, folks. We're gonna just chat a little bit of football here. I want to get Terry's thoughts on United losing a dramatic penalty shootout, 11-10, with their goalkeeper being the one to miss their kick. Thoughts?
I was texting a friend of ours saying if it went to penalties, we were going to lose. Because yeah. I know our goalkeeper was just...
Shocking.
But he was never, like, I was like, I'm not confident in him getting near. Like, he has, apparently his last,
I think he's
50 not, penalties?
I heard 40, including last night.
Including shootouts, yeah. He hasn't saved one. So, you know.
He hasn't saved a penalty in 5 years, essentially.
Yeah, essentially. And he was, I wouldn't say he was primarily at fault, but.
I felt bad for him. Missing the kick.
He's on like 350 grand a week or something.
Is he?
Yeah, he's like, that's what they're saying. The whole thing is that, like, oh, he's been great for them for, you know, so many years, and they signed him to a new contract. And then as soon as he signed his new contract, his mistakes started.
Taking his foot off, like.
Kind of a little bit, but also, like, they have the new young goalkeeper who I rate quite highly. And
he's
in his short career, has saved like 6 penalties.
Yeah.
So you probably could have done with him in goal last night.
Ole doesn't have the balls to bring him in.
I was thinking about this.
Cruel style.
People were like, yeah, oh, like, you should have brought him on. I was like, you have to be a real prick of a manager.
Yeah, you have to. You got to be a prick in this business.
No, but like, Klopp would, you know, Klopp wouldn't do it.
Wouldn't need to.
If it went to penalties.
You wouldn't. I was going to put Adrian in
no,
goal.
But like, Keller? if it wasn't Alisson, you know, okay. If we say, like,
I think he would.
Alisson's is a good penalty. You know, good chance of saving a penalty. But like, if you had somebody who was a better goalkeeper or a better shot stopper on the bench, he wouldn't, because he's like, he wouldn't. It's somebody like Van Gaal, who's an absolute fucking
nut job.
I tell you, if he's a chocolate bear, he'd eat himself.
like a Mancini or a you know, someone like that, someone who's just prone to be emotional. Conte.
Yeah, no, because I think they kind of would all like. Back their players, whereas Van Gaal is so, you know, I'm a genius, I know what I'm doing, and the same, I'd say Mourinho would probably do it as well.
Yeah.
But
big ego managers.
Yeah, like. Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I thought, like, how would I say it? Not that they didn't deserve to win Villarreal, like, they had one chance, they got their goal. United had one chance, they got their goal, but
there was no saves apparently in the match at all.
Three shots on target. Like United had, you know, like Villarreal were rocking in the second half after they conceded, and it was a lot of half chances. Or like if you make a better pass in the last, you know,
decision making,
you probably
well.
Have a goal. Like, but otherwise, it was just a very like.
I have to say, I mean, although obviously it's United and you know there's the rivalry and all that, but even if it wasn't United, I suppose I'm glad to see a team that's like. That could really do with winning, like a tiny town like Villarreal, rather than a team who sort of fell into it, didn't really want it, and like wouldn't really rate it. You know what I mean? Like,
what bugs me? Like, don't get me wrong, that's great, and I think you're right. Like, something like that. Like, it's a better story and it's a nicer thing.
Yeah.
What bugs me is like people going on about the tactical masterclass of Unai Emery last night, and I was watching. You know, 10 behind the ball for large periods, and like it's not like they were like catching on the counter attack. Their goal was from a set piece that like was very preventable. I was watching on Virgin Media, and I don't know if you like ever watch their coverage. Damien Delaney, who is he's quite a good pundit, I think, at the best of times, but he's very like when United were sauntering through the semi-finals and quarter-finals, he was slating them. This United right. team are miles off everywhere they need to be. And it's like they won 4-0 in Spain. They beat Roma like 7-2 or whatever. And it was like, oh, they're miles away from where they need to be. And then last night, they were 1-0 down at halftime. It's like, this is the best United performance I've seen. You know, it's like...
Well, they've literally no idea what the rules are.
Aggressive look. And I was like, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, like, in this match. But I do think we haven't been great. But I agree with the points that, like, you depressing and all was good. And he was saying, oh, they're unlucky to be behind. And then at full time, it was like, oh, United, unlucky not to win the game. And then it goes into extra time and penalties afterwards. And he's like, it's great. Villarreal totally deserved it. And I'm like, I know, like, it's the good. Wound is still, like, fresh or whatever. Yeah. But I was just like,
fuck you.
Fuck, yeah, exactly. Fuck off. Like, would you, like, as your pal Jamie would say, a lot of lazy punditry going on.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So, but, you know, it hasn't been a great day. You know?
No. I was thinking, and I was going to text. I seen after I fell asleep, there was a bit of text back and forth about it. But I was going to text and say something, but I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not even going to. Like I wouldn't want to talk to anyone really after Liverpool lose a final.
Like Faye texted me last night because she was up. She was like, I'll let you have the downstairs. I was like, I'll watch it upstairs in the bedroom or whatever. Yeah. She's like, no, I'm going to bed. You have to run the TV or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was very nice of her. And about whatever it was, 11:15, she's like, come to bed. You can read about how they lost tomorrow or whatever. And I was like, I can't actually.
Absolutely can't do that.
I can't come to bed. I'll just be like lying in bed with Homer with the sheet up to him. Like,
even I went down. Like, I was in bed watching something else, and when I seen it went to penalties, I went downstairs, just stood in front of the TV.
I was like pacing around the room, and then like
some unreal penalties, I have to say, under pressure.
Some very good penalties, but other ones that I was like,
you're gone
too early, or like you're flat footed. Like, it's past him before he knows. I'm like, fuck off. Like, if you judge it properly, like, you get two strong hands.
I seen his list that he had of all the players.
Didn't follow it though. No.
The one thing that I have to say, and like I'll finish on this anyway, but
yeah, please do.
Moreno for Villarreal has got to, like, I like he played for Liverpool, but the most frustrating thing about like that kind of shithousery is that he's like a bang average player.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen any of the stuff, like, I couldn't stop laughing at though, where he's like, Manchester United, get out, Manchester United, get out, in the dressing room and all this. And I'm like, and he's got a whole thing, like he's gone madder than anyone.
For all the fans of Liverpool,
came on as a sub, like,
yeah, he came squandered on as a sub in extra time chance. Or like 10 minutes before the end, I can't remember which. Call,
and he's like, oh, Liverpool, yeah, my heart. It's like, you cost us our Europa League final. So now it's supposed to be all right that you won it.
He said something in the paper. He's like, I'll go to my grave never knowing why I got the blame for that final.
Although I seen something recently where he was saying like his mate or something died like that day. Or something, and he's like, "Oh, I wasn't even there."
How about you talk to your manager about that? Like,
yeah, exactly. You know, maybe don't play in the most important game. Of,
let Klopp know and let him make the decision. Like,
but anyway, Terry, if you don't follow football, sorry, but it was topical. Oh, okay, all right. Now, what do you got there? What was all that banging you were doing in the kitchen? If that's all you're drinking. Oh, hello. Some sort of whiskey.
You know what it is.
Is it a bourbon?
You know it, my friend. The wildest pew, of turkeys. Pew, pew, pew.
Excellent. Well, I've got my H2O bottle of cordial here. So,
what kind of cordial you got there, friend?
Apple and blackcurrant.
That's you all over. You were always... Not that I used to hate going down to your house, but it would always be apple and blackcurrant when I was in your house.
Hey, lime is the oddity in this. Lime. No one has lime. And you can't go, oh, they've always got, like, this is what everyone has.
And
you're
yet,
the weird house.
It's the best one, and you know
it is.
It is,
but that's not the point. Never seen it once on the shelves in any shop.
I tell you, I get the now the best lime to get. Don't be fooled into getting that My Wadi lime, right?
Never touch My Wadi.
Yeah, thank you. The best one is the Tesco lime is the best.
Tesco's good. Okay.
Tesco do a good cordial.
They do a good cordial. Now I have to go double strength with my cordial. I can't do single strength anymore.
They're double strength, all right, my friend.
Yeah, excellent. Well, listen, now that we've got all that out of the way, how the bloody hell are you?
I'm good.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Not a hell of a lot. I tell you, I had a day off last Friday. Was it Friday?
Nice. Yeah.
And, I thoroughly enjoyed it, even though the weather was shite. I just kind of settled in and had a real me day. Mm-hmm. Watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
At whatever, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and by gum, I love that movie.
I loved it. I'm dying to see it. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Love it as well. Like, it's, I know. Just like a real
DiCaprio,
like 1969. Let it wash over you. Probably DiCaprio's best performance, I would say. Like, really is a fantastic performance. And Brad Pitt is fucking also probably his best performance as well. Like,
mate, I'm just going to buy it. I see it in the shop all the time.
I'm going to buy it on
Blu-ray. I'll get into your racket.
Now you're talking.
And I'll buy the Blu-ray. Although I don't have anything to put it in, actually.
What? You don't have
PlayStation,
Blu-ray.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what I play mine on.
Yeah, but it's a jet engine, isn't it? Is yours the same?
No, mine's fine. Like,
Jesus, the sound of mine. You can't even hear the dialogue. Like,
really?
Yeah.
I thought you fixed it, though. I thought you took it apart.
It's kind of back.
It's back. Anyway.
It's back.
I'm thinking I'm back. You know, you can buy it digitally, my friend. I'm
waiting for the PS5.
Any? Can you get a PS5?
I don't know. I followed this account on Twitter today of like PS5 Ireland notifications, and they let you know
still
it's like
not
Curry's in Blanchardstown has 20. You know, like that sort of stuff. Like, is this a massive fuck up by PlayStation? You know what I mean? The fact that no one can get the console, and like there's like, barely any games for it. Like, am I wrong, or is that
there's games the coming out? Like, there's only one PS5 game.
Yeah,
and it's called Returnal, I think. And the game it's kind of like a shooter, you know, a third person shooter, but there's no save point.
Huh.
So every time you die, you go back to the very start.
What?
A la SNES or whatever. But I think I don't know if you keep experience points or whatever, but that people talk about how it's like frustrating, but also you never want to stop playing it. Like, you know,
right.
It's one of those ones. I've been doing a bit of gaming.
Oh, what have you been playing?
So remember I was talking about Heavy Rain?
Yes, indeed.
And then I told you, don't buy it.
Don't bother. Yeah.
I thought it was. I was loving it. I was chugging along quite nicely with it, and then the story takes a turn that makes absolutely no sense. Like it makes a liar out of the game that's come before.
Is it one of those like, and it was all a dream?
Not even
that.
It's like this guy, somebody is revealed to be something, and you're like, well, I've just been playing as this guy for the last 5 hours, and all the stuff he's been doing makes no sense now. Like, if he's this guy, I'm just
I feel dirty now.
I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, and it was weird because when I went to finish it, I saw a tweet about the game.
Yeah,
that the game hasn't been out since fucking, I don't know, 10 years, maybe more. But it was like somebody tweeted about it, and I kind of was like reading, and I was like, I know that name. That's from the, and I just kind of didn't want to see it, but I wanted to come back. I ended up beating it that night and then checking it, and I was like, yeah, they're fucking right. Like, it's a lie.
Is it like a cheap shot or something almost?
It's just like, you're like, oh, because you're trying to find out who this serial killer is, and then it's like, wait, what? Oh, okay. Like,
and have you been playing something else then since then?
I bought a new game that's similar to it.
Oh,
in that it's one of these games where, you know, the choices you make determine the outcome. I like those games.
Is
right?
It Until Dawn?
It is Until Dawn.
Hey.
Have you played it?
I tell you, I'm about 2 hours into it, but I couldn't because my PlayStation just was freaking out when I started playing it.
When did you get it?
I got a lend of it off Carrie's sister.
Recently, they have
loads of games. I've actually had it for a couple of years, but I only just put it in about like maybe a year ago.
Yeah, I think I'm like 3 or 4 chapters into it. Like, you know what I mean?
I found it was okay. It's slow for me.
Yeah, but I thought you would like it in terms of the horror. It's essentially a horror film game.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed the concept, and I like the whole like bunch of people in the woods and
some actors playing the parts.
So like it was decent, and but it was a little bit. I don't know.
You're a bit passive in it at times, aren't you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that can be the thing with these games. But I kind of like them in that, like, I like the idea of, like, what would have happened if I'd made that other choice?
Yeah.
You know? I was a big give yourself goosebumps kind of kid.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, I think the difference is as well that, like, whenever I'm playing, I usually have Kerry watching and I'm conscious of, like, you know, it being boring. But if you're playing by yourself or whatever like that, then you can just sort of settle in. You're not thinking of anyone else's entertainment.
Did you beat The Last of Us 2?
Yeah, I thought it was okay, but I was kind of...
wasn't like the first one. See, no. it took me a while. Like, I played the first one and then I stopped playing it for ages. And it was only when you gave me the game on the PS4.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got back into it and I was like, so good. I couldn't stop playing it. So I think if I get back into this one, I'll probably... dive right in.
I was kind of like when you were Ellie and Abby, wasn't it? Where like I was so conscious of like, because I've done it before in the game where I press X and you're hitting them, and I'm like, I forget that I have a choice. You know what I mean? To not hit. So every time I was in a fight with Abby at the end, I'm kind of like, oh, I don't want to press it, like, because it's like,
then you're... at the end, I haven't beat this game.
Oh,
who? Who's Abby? I can't remember.
Forget it. I'm cutting this whole segment out of the podcast. No,
do not. Put it in and double it. Did you have a chance to watch... Last thing I want to talk about. Did you have a chance to watch that 1971 documentary?
I did not.
That was a good double act of my weekend. Of watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which was 1969, and then watching a couple of those episodes of 1971, the year... the music changed everything, and I was like, man, the stuff that was going on in America and stuff at this time was really like the whole counterculture movement.
Yeah, it was a real shifting of the times. Like,
yeah, and it was like you kind of like seeing on this like how fucking grim it was in America, like with like Nixon in charge. You're like, oh right, okay, like it was kind of, it's like people who were teenagers in the 70s were probably feeling the same way that teenagers now were feeling about Trump, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of like oppressiveness that were there, like,
and like the Vietnam War was going on and all around,
like,
that time.
That's the first episode is kind of like talking about people, like Marvin Gaye is a big feature of the first episode, and they're talking about like what's going on, the album that he released.
Oh, brilliant.
But they do a great thing of, like, you know, you've heard the song so many times before, but they put the lyrics on the screen, like, while
so you can really soak them,
like,
in. Like.
Yeah, exactly. It was like listening to like Inner City Blues.
Oof.
And it's like, money, we make it. It's like, tax man, they take it. You're like, I'm just like, they do. Like,
you'd miss that almost, like, when you listen to it just in your headphones or something like that.
You know, you're out and about or something, you get I do read a lot when I'm listening to music, so like you don't, sometimes it's just like really interesting,
it's
to
background.
See, or like Concert for Bangladesh is a big thing, and it's like, my friend came to me, and there's the lyrics up coming up, you're like, of course, because
what a banger that is.
I don't listen to enough, like, and like just like that sax and all, like,
I'm like, first of all, you've got like, he comes out, I think it was the first like sort of fundraising gig ever,
it was his first live performance
after
the Beatles,
and he really didn't want to, but like Ravi Shankar came to him with the whole thing. And like, I like the fact that like they start with like this 15-minute Indian song, and like as they're just tuning, and then the audience applauds, and Ravi Shankar is like, I'm not gonna do the voice. Ravi Shankar is like, if you appreciate the tuning so much, Shankar, groovy man. If you appreciate the tuning this much, I hope you appreciate the song better or something like that. But then it had George, you had Bob Dylan coming out, and apparently right up until he walked out on stage, they weren't sure if he was actually going to do it. Like Bob Dylan being Bob Dylan, basically.
Wanker.
Yes. Eric Clapton was in the midst of a gripping heroin addiction. He somehow managed to just get through the set, like, and he's strung out.
Where was this the time when, like, him, there was a bit of love triangle going on with him and George Harrison and
wife? George didn't know about it at this point, I think. Yeah. I think it was a few years later.
That's what Layla's about, isn't it?
Yeah. And
fucking hell, like, I know. Wild Times,
and,
like,
and Something by George Harrison, was, they were both written about the same woman, like, yeah. Two of the best, like, yeah, songs at that time.
I tell you, you're gonna have your hands full picking the outro song this time. We've listed off just five bangers there.
Meaning towards Bangladesh, to be honest. But anyway, hey, we'll see. Listen, I've been watching some stuff, Terry.
Okay,
can I hit you with some
quickly?
Thank you. Brightburn, I watched.
Is any use? Evil super baby?
No, it is not.
Okay.
I like the premise of, like, the sort of a superhero horror, you know?
It's like, what if Superman Clark was Kent was evil?
Evil, yeah.
An evil little boy.
The special effects are shocking.
Really?
Shockingly
it
bad.
Is low budget, though, isn't it? Like, who's got, the dad? Is the dad?
It's Roy from The Office.
There you go. He's actually the mayor of Easttown as well.
I've been watching that too. I was going to say that. I mean, it was a good premise, but no, it wasn't. It wasn't good.
I mean, I think James Gunn of Guardians of the Galaxy fame was the producer of it.
Oh, really?
It kind of, you know, you're like, okay, I like it. I think you would have probably preferred to see him direct it. He probably would do a better job, like, you know.
It was a missed opportunity, I'd say.
Fair enough.
And then, yeah, Mayor of East
Town. Town.
Yeah, I'm two episodes in, and I tell you, it nearly lost me. But at the end of episode two, I was like, okay, now you're giving me something.
What was the end of episode two?
Where your one's friend was like, she said he's not the father.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Andy, that's the tip of the iceberg.
Is it?
Like, yeah, there's fucking loads of shit.
Well, like, I was bored through most of the first episode, to be honest. I was like, oh, so she's, like, a bitch, and, like, that's her thing. She's just rude to everybody.
No, I don't think, have they said what's going on with her son or anything like that yet? No?
Yeah, I figured that out in the second one, but for the first one, I was like, what's her problem?
What did they say about her son?
That he, I don't know if I want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Just whisper here to me, they won't know. Yeah, okay.
So mature.
This video is being recorded.
Oh no.
Anything else? I would say, like, we've only one episode left, and we like can't fucking wait.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, really good.
I watched, I don't know if we talked about it before, the Jane Silent Bob reboot.
I talked about it to you, my friend. I watched it.
I put it on, and I was like, what's this? I seen it there, it's like, Jane Silent Bob reboot. Forgetting that you've told me about it probably more than once. I was like, what's this? 2019. I was like, okay, stick it on. And Kerry was like, we've watched this, and I was like, no, we haven't. She's like, yeah, there's a movie being made. I was like, oh, you are so naive. Like, that is the previous one. She's like, I know, this is a remake of that. I was like, okay. And it turned out she was right. I looked a fool.
Really? I just watched it before.
I guess we'd watched it for 10 minutes and turned it off. I mean, I made about 20 minutes this time and turned it off. It was bad. Bad.
Last words before I bust your balls. I mean, that one's his best movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
James and Bob, Strike Back.
Strike Back, yeah. What did you think of the reboot? Again,
yeah,
I've forgotten.
Not good.
It made me almost like sad. Yeah.
There's
like, get out of those costumes.
There's
like,
a bit at
so
the end
looking.
Where Holden, Ben Affleck's character, comes back in.
Yeah.
And he's like, he has a really nice monologue, and it's the best bit in the film.
Right.
Where he's like, you realize you're not Bruce Wayne anymore. You're Bruce Wayne's dad. And, you know, he like, and has extra metatextual stuff because he's You know, played Batman and has been really sad Batman, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a really nice moment and you're like, oh, you forgot, like, how good Affleck can be.
Well, I hate the present so much, it's like they want to retreat into the past. All of a sudden, all my old bullshit is back. And some of that old bullshit meant the world to me when I was starting out. But now that all my childhood dreams are starting to come true, I mean, it's nice, don't get me wrong. That kid is just way more interesting to me. I used to think life was all about me. I was the hero of my own story. I was Bruce Wayne of one lifelong issue of Detective Comics, so to speak. And that kid came along and suddenly you realize you're not Bruce Wayne anymore. You're Thomas Wayne, or Bruce Wayne's mom, whose name escapes me. Anyway, I'm just here to set the real story in motion. So once you become a parent, you're not the star anymore. You're the stage. I'm just here to prop up my kid so she can put on the show of her life, like my parents did for me, like theirs did before them. And if you're lucky enough to have a kid, the trade-off is you don't really get a third act to your story, because the story changes. All of a sudden, it's not about you anymore. For the first time in your self-involved life, that's okay. Kids are like our reboots, another chance to tell a brand new version of the same old story. I know I'm supposed to be teaching Amy stuff, but it's like I'm learning from her every day. So, spend my days chasing Amy.
He's so good.
And good on him getting back with J-Lo, huh?
Is he?
Yeah, where you been, man?
I never heard this.
Yeah. They're back.
She's I heard something about Bennifer. Is that them?
They're back, baby.
Fuck's sake. I'm glad.
He was in that Jenny from the Block video.
She seems fairly cool, I guess, if not a little annoying. And he is super cool.
I mean, he's like, there's a whole thing where it's like the two of them are spotted and it was like Jennifer is like meditating or like breathing in the fresh air. And it's like Jennifer meditates and takes in some lovely fresh air while Sloppy Ben smokes a cigarette. And it's just like,
come on,
just
man.
Like, there's been so many pictures of him during this pandemic of like holding Dunkin' Donuts stuff. Like, just let him live his life. Like,
yeah,
you know,
wankers.
Yeah.
Listen, the last thing, Terry, before we get into it, is
going along.
We have an email.
Oh,
it's from a fan and fam and patron Newman. He says. Dear gentlemen, I am a huge fan when us listeners are treated to an impression of a Simpsons or other pop culture figure from one or both of you during the podcast. Some of my personal favorites are Terry's Automan / Enda Kenny and Andy's Don Vittorio DiMaggio. My question is, what impression do you both feel is your best work, and can Terry do Enda Kenny again, please? Love the show. Sexily yours. Newman.
Enda Kenny. I don't even remember doing an Enda
Kenny.
I don't
remember that either. I don't know if this even happened, to be honest. I think this is a ruse. Go on, though. Give us an Enda Kenny, Terry.
I can't.
I'm sorry, Christy. Yeah.
I can't get my mouth is like not in the right shape.
And
once
of course, no, that's not it at all. Look, I am told that my impressions are terrible. I've been told one thing consistently throughout my whole life, that my accents and my impressions are terrible. And like,
who's telling you that?
Kerry.
I was going to say, bunch of jerks, but she knows you better than anybody.
She says that my accents are terrible and that my impressions aren't good. And I'm so confident that my accents are, and impressions are good.
I think you've got a couple of good ones in there.
Thank you, Terry. It's the one aspect that I'm very confident of.
I'll give you
a, I'm not going to do one on the spot because
I'll give you a Chris Farley here. We're getting fired! Oh my god,
I'm actually terrible at this tonight. Okay, listen, on that bombshell, thank you very much for the email, by the way.
I think we need to give him a bit more of an impression.
Okay,
like, give him one more. You give him one then.
A Simpsons character?
Sure.
You pick a Simpsons character.
Okay,
and I'll do it.
Do great
content.
Kirk Van Houten.
You're letting me go?
Not terrible.
Can I have my... No, I've lost it. Can I have my shirts back at least?
Okay.
I'll be back. Probably.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right.
I ordered that sandwich to be sliced.
Okay, I need you to do...
This should just be the show. 1 hour. 1 hour of this.
Do that police officer, but not Lou. The other guy.
Eddie,
yeah.
Must have sprung up overnight.
That's what I was looking for. I just wanted to hear you do that
again. Real sickos out there.
Well, there you have it.
Guy.
Right, I'm moving on. Okay.
I'm sure there'll be plenty throughout the episode anyway.
Hurricane Neddy, Terry.
Neddy.
The 8th episode of Season 8, airing December 29th, 1996, written by Steve Young and directed by Bob Anderson, fake name, and features a cameo by John Lovitz as Jay Sherman from The Critic. Excuse me. Now, the production... by Marshall Talmadge.
Steve Young. I watched a bit of the Friends reunion.
Just with is it any good? I'm actually dying to watch it.
What I would say to you is, it's depressing.
Is it?
Yeah, like, poor Matthew Perry looks awful. Like,
does he?
He looks really bad. And I was like, has he had a stroke or something? Apparently it's emergency dental surgery, but he looks like he's had a stroke. Like,
no way.
Joey... Matt LeBlanc is a big, cuddly... he looks like my dad, like 10 years ago.
He's so
like,
soft-spoken as well.
There was a bit where they're walking around and he's like, it seems small to me, the stage. And him and Jennifer Aniston, she's like, well, it doesn't make any sense because we haven't grown. And then it's just a pause. And then he's like, well, speak for yourself. Like, and then I'm like, ah. And then they're having a genuine laugh. But there's a lot of like setups and stuff like that. Like James Corden is hosting it, who can fuck right off, let me tell you.
I don't actually mind him, but...
Fuck like, you. You're part of the problem, man.
What is everyone's problem with James Corden? I don't understand.
He's insufferable. And he's everywhere.
Like annoying.
Yeah.
I always kind of liked him. I liked him from Gavin and Stacey, like.
I like that. I much prefer him in Gavin and Stacey because he is more of a real... He's playing a character that's more real than the character of James Corden that he plays as, as you know, stand-up host or whatever.
I never got
him and Jimmy Fallon.
I'll jump on that.
Drown the two of them.
That fucking coke addict.
Is he?
Well, I don't know. There's never been any mention, to be honest. It's very slanderous on a podcast. There's been no mention... But he looks like he's on cocaine all the time.
I don't know. He's just wired.
Like,
yeah. But I think that's part of it as well. You know, he's part. That's his whole like shtick of like.
Anyway,
don't know what that was.
The impressions have already started. Yeah. Steve Young was a writer for The Late Show with David Letterman. Was brought in as a freelance. There we go, number two to write the episode. Okay, that's
Steve
enough.
Steve Young.
The writers wanted to explore what made Flanders tick and examine what made him act the way he does. The idea came from George Meyer, who had wanted to do an episode about Flanders' faith being tested. One of the key points came from his friend Jack Handley, writer for Saturday Night Live, who wanted to do a sketch about a down-on-his-luck shoemaker who is visited by elves to help
him. And it goes on like this.
Literally what I was thinking.
How are the alkaline flats?
Oh, I have no idea what this podcast is like to listen to today. I feel like this is a proper loopy one.
Let's just get into the episode. We got notes.
All right, yada, yada, yada. Nielsen, 8.7, 8.4 million viewing households.
Second highest.
Yeah. Last week it was the fifth highest. There was an entry into last week. I meant to actually test you on that. But anyway, Terry.
Behind the X-Files, is it?
Yeah.
Melrose must have had the week off.
Right, notes. Yeah, my first note was just, I just love these little tranquil moments where Homer, like where he's just enjoying like the peace or enjoying life. And just the image of Homer asleep on the hammock with his like lemonade drink just balancing on his chest, the wind blowing his hair. Yeah. I just think like, good on him. A good animation of him reaching for the
straw. It brought a big smile to my face, that whole scene of him like being asleep and not being able to get his lemonade.
Yeah.
It's all the more endearing that it's lemonade.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Not like a can of beer, like it's a nice summery drink. but yeah, so I love that. I love the whole start with the great animation, by the way, for the just the wind picking up and the hurricane and the clouds in the sky and all that at the start. Really well done.
Lisa's whole setup, I think, is a very good gag. So she just has like a weather kit set there ready to go. Like, it's like the book chapter 2. So your pressure is dropping. Like, it's a hurricane.
The line that I've always liked was, he's like, there is no record of a hurricane hitting Springfield. And she's like, but the records only go back to 1978 when the Hall of Records was mysteriously blown away.
It's great. It's great. It's a classic Simpsons barb. Poor old Santa's little helper gets blast away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They never mention him again. Like,
dead. Yeah. So he's dead.
So then you kind of get Kent Brockman. You got a bit of Kent Brockman in this episode.
I really appreciate Kent Brockman. And I'd like to see more of him, to be honest.
Just, yeah, but it's not so much that he gets his own episode. You know what I mean?
No, but maybe a subplot. But his line of, he's like, what was it like? And if you think naming a hurricane after a woman is sexist, you obviously haven't seen the gals grabbing for items at a clearance sale.
That's true, but he shouldn't say it.
I love that line. Yeah. That's one of my favorite marriage lines of all time. It's a little tilt of the head. Yeah, like, but he shouldn't say it. And it can be used for so many jokes.
The shrug of the shoulders, like, you know? I did like a poo, like on top of the Quickie Mart, and he's like, "Stay behind the flaming garbage cans. We will be letting you in 70 people at a time."
Real lockdown vibes. Yeah, lockdown one vibes.
I was actually thinking more of like the Big Freeze.
Oh yeah,
where it was like bread and milk.
Bread and
and a premium, like people fucking killing each other.
Why is it that like bread and milk was the hot commodity then, but like for lockdown one, we'll say it was toilet rolls. Remember that for the first week? Everyone was going mad for toilet rolls.
Because it was like people were saying coronavirus gives you diarrhea.
Oh, right.
That's what they were saying. It was like if you caught COVID, one of the big symptoms is it gives you diarrhea.
Right, okay. Yeah.
I did like Kirk where you just see him and it's like, oh, this is who he is now after breaking up with Joanne. He's standing in the middle. He's just like standing in the middle of the Quickie Mart parking lot alone. He's like, let's just beat him up and take his stuff.
And his morals have dwindled.
He's like, no, do not listen to that man. I don't know if nobody had listened to him as well. He's just like,
And then when he's like telling them what they can do and they're all like, yay, and I love it, he just looks like, like I failed again.
Yeah, another misstep for Kirk.
Next note is just the idea of creamed eels is revolting.
I think I would have eaten wadded beef though.
I think you would.
Yeah. You know me. I'd be willing to give it a whirl.
I think you would have. I think you would try it. Cream deals, not so much.
I mean, I've eaten
ice cream, not so much.
I, you know, I love ice cream.
Well, it's not what I heard. It's not what everyone else says.
I love a 99. Let me tell you. We only talked about it.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
Raspberry ripple.
Yeah. Chocolate, mint? Not mint.
You don't try the.
I love a selection at the end of a nice dinner. That's my dessert. A trio Neapolitan? Of ice cream, chocolate. Strawberry, vanilla. Yes, please.
Three balls.
Yeah. I love that.
How are you with spicy food?
I like having the head blown at me, mate.
Who doesn't? Huh?
This people podcast like is cancelled.
Anyway, moving on. Love the windy animation. I already talked about that.
Mrs. Glick, I liked. I got the last pineapple. Plenty ripe. Like, I love Lisa's, like, but I'm not a fruit. I'm a kid.
That's what the pumpkin said. I love, the next note is, I just love Flanders on the other side of the fence. I just love the weather around them, but the fact that Flanders is still being helpful is like, why don't you come on over and hunker in our bunker? That's impression number three. And the way Homer leans in, where he's like, I don't want to be a third wheel. Yeah. And he's like, I would make it my business to be a third wheel.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I always enjoy a bit of fence time between Homer and Flanders. Yes. It's good.
There's something about Homer just leaning on the fence and talking. It just, I like that vibe.
When they get into the cellar.
Yeah.
Oh, no, actually, sorry. Before that, my favorite joke of the episode is they're at the prison.
Yeah.
And I see my aunt, and he's like, awesome. So long, suckers. Like, he's just like,
oh.
But, like, it's not like the way he says that. So long, suckers. And then just, like, into the, you know, telephone wires.
And it's so, like, dark that they're all like, yay, he's been electrocuted.
And then when they're in the cellar. Like,
spin the middle side. No,
even before that, where it's like, Lisa's like, okay, start with diagonal colors. And Homer's like, use your main finger on the yellow side and your other finger on the orange side and turn it. And Mark's like, my main finger?
And like, one at a time.
There's so much here. Like, Bart is like, orange to orange. Lisa's like, now you have to turn it back. Homer's like, you got to start backwards. Like,
start backwards.
Ignore the red. Alternate corners.
And like, literally every different combination.
And Bart being like, spin the middle side topwise.
It's the fact that it's just silence.
But it's like everybody's calm
down. It's the most confusing one.
Yeah.
It's like, now that we've all got our heads, he comes out with the most confusing one.
Topwise. There's some good little gags in here, like the, you know, the harmonica shop.
Oh yeah.
And then the harpsichord. Yeah, you know, like good sight gags.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of when Homer kind of gets sucked into the whirlpool.
It was a bit cartoony, wasn't it?
And even when it was like the hurricane.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right. You know, I get it. You know,
fine.
Okay, I see you. But when Homer's outside and he's like, it's perfectly calm, and you see the bowling alley, flying by. That looks great.
Yeah,
it's just really like floating good. By,
and, like, and the silence of it, like, it makes it even better.
Yeah.
And then I suppose once Marge prays, that line. I think there was. I don't know. Was there something about that line?
Yeah, he's like, he fell for it. Way to go, Marge.
Yeah, I can't remember. There was something about it. I don't think it's not worth it. But when the hurricane stops and it's like everyone's house is fine. Except
Flanders.
Flanders.
It's, like, I think it's inspired.
Yeah.
It's an inspired choice. Like.
Yeah, it's a great premise. Like, and I love the line when they're getting their stuff together and just, oh my gosh, look at Rod.
He's I just have a headache
through the tree trunk. Like,
dead.
But like, the fact that my question was, they don't believe in insurance because Nettie considers it a form of gambling. So, like, do they just have no money? Like, can they not go to a hotel? Like, they have to go to, like, a shelter? Like, is that dumb question?
They probably, they have money, I'm sure. But, like, also, a lot of it is tied up in the store, I would say. That's where he draws his income from. Like, I don't know.
I forgot they crossed that off with the protest. They've taken their
the leftorium.
Turned their rage on the leftorium.
Look at the back.
Grabbing items with both hands, suggesting it's not just Southpaws.
This rampaging mob.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and like, that's just a little bit like, try looking the back. You know, Ned being like, it's the only thing that survived were the family tombstones. Good.
They're all we've got left. My next note, again, I don't know if I'm jumping it a bit, but when he's on the phone to Reverend Lovejoy, or when he's talking to Reverend Lovejoy at the shelter, and I always, ever since I was a kid, this line has stuck in me where he's like, is God punishing me? And he's like, ooh, short answer, yes with an if, long answer, no
with a but.
What a great line that is.
But even he's like, aren't you being a tad melodramatic, Ned? When he's like saying, he's like, Job. He's like, also, I believe Job was right-handed. Like, just give me some solace here.
Give like, him something.
Yeah. Like. Even before that, though, I want to talk about when they're in the clothes. You know, the boys, and it's like, I'm a surfer. He's like wearing a butthole
surfer. Butthole surfers, yeah. And what kind of music did I play?
I assume it's surf. Rock, like, isn't that like do 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 do
do do do do do do? Anyway, sorry, I derailed you.
Or like that, he's like, look, Daddy, Todd is stupid, and I'm with him. Now, Mommy is stupid, and it's like something like heartbreaking about Ned. He's like, looking good, right?
He's so defeated, like, and you never see, like, this is the first time that you've ever in the history of The Simpsons, I guess, seen Ned. Being this low, like
the other one was, remember when they were going to lose, he opened up the leftorium and they were going to lose it, but like they were even like, Christ, guys are gonna clear up, you know, like he's like, we're gonna go stay with my sister for a little bit, like they're real like chipper, you know,
upbeat,
like,
even, he was really like his faith, it was his faith being tested this time.
He still, even though he knew he was in the shit, like he was still putting on a brave face. Here he's like, oh.
Because I suppose in this one, it's like his was the only one, the only thing in town destroyed, basically, you know. And a great scene with him at the altar as well.
With the guys.
Well, just even like when he's like, he's gone up and he's flicking through the Bible. And he's just like, you know, it's like, he's just talking to God out loud. Like, I thought it was a really well, like the scene looked really good and great dialogue.
Even
and,
the stuff that contradicts the other stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
even the fact that the Bible gives him a paper cut as he's turning the page. Son of a gondillion.
Yeah. So then Marge tells him that something wonderful has happened. Come to your house.
Oh, and the rubble burned down.
But there is like this, I love the way everybody looks in their hard hats and their, you know, their Habitat for Humanity look. That you're like, oh,
all look. Smiles. Yeah.
We didn't have the best tools or all the know-how, but we did have a wheelbarrow full of love.
Yes, and a cement mixer full of hope and some cement.
And you get the great line, look for the, I don't know how I can repay you, but just look for the happiest man in Springfield. And this guy, like,
oh, what a guy.
No, not me. He's talking about himself, but thanks for looking.
The fact that he thanks them for looking. Yeah. Like, and I never noticed before, but like there's a guy behind him like frowning at the happiest guy in Springfield. There's someone just in the crowd. I never copped it. One thing that I liked as well when they're all saying like hi to Flanders, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was Mo or something, where he's like, happy to help, and you just hear Barney like, sure.
Yeah. Barney. Well, we'll get to Barney now in a second. Flanders' first thing was like, oh, looks like a loose nail here.
Homer, 1 out of 25 ain't bad.
Good line, I have to say.
Yeah, I like that.
It's like with only 25 nails in a house.
How did they put this? How is this house even standing right now?
And he's like, just in the kitchen, he's like, was that always there?
this is the moment where like
the realization sets in.
Yeah, like the honeymoon is already over. He's like,
you ever try to lug on a toilet up a flight of stairs, Ned?
So that's it, like, and like I just love like the imagery that goes with that, that like you can just picture them like Wiggum and Homer and Barney like, trying to get just, it up the stairs, just leave like, it, just leave it.
When like they're walking by, there's two things. They're walking by the room. This room has electricity, but it has too much electricity, so I don't know. Yeah. You might want to wear a hat.
And it's the only room with electricity.
Yeah. And it's like, floor's a little gritty here.
Oh yeah, we ran out of floorboard, so we painted over the dirt. Pretty clever.
And then he just gets like, oh, something's definitely wrong with this hallway. And the fact that it is Barney, where it's like the tiny,
the biggest
door
of the lot.
he's like, come on in. It's your master bedroom.
I think I've seen him out enough.
Oh, my nose.
Like, clearly they just gave up with the upstairs. And before, like when he comes out, and like Homer like says, what do you think of the house that Love built? And the whole thing falls down. And then even then Flanders is like, okay, he takes off his glasses.
The breathing and then the rubbing of the glass and then the lens falling out and you just
hear a little smash.
Yeah, I was like, oh, so good.
Calm down, Italy, diddly, 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 diddly. They did their best, shoddily, Italy, diddly. Gotta be nice, hostility, diddly, diddly, diddly. Ah, hell, diddly, ding, dong, crap! Can't you morons do anything right?
Hey. Ned, we meant well, and everyone here tried their best.
Well, my family and I can't leave in good intentions, Marge. Oh, your family is out of control, but we can't blame you because you have good intentions.
Hey, back off, man.
Oh, okay, dude. I wouldn't want you to have a cow, man. Here's a catchphrase you better learn for your adult years. Hey, buddy, got a quarter?
I am shocked and appalled.
Mr. Flanders, with all due respect, Bart didn't do anything.
Do I hear the sound of butting in? It's gotta be little Lisa Simpson, Springfield's answer to a question no one asked! What do we have here? The long, flabby arm of the law? The last case you got to the bottom of was a case of Malamars!
Malamars, oh, that's going in the act.
Oh, yeah, the clown. The only one of you buffoons who doesn't make me laugh. And as for you, I don't know you, but I'm sure you're a jerk.
Hey, I've only been here a few minutes. What's going on?
You ugly, hate-filled man.
Hey, I may be ugly and hate-filled, but I've, what was the third thing you said?
Homer, you are the worst human being I have ever met.
Hey, I got off pretty easy.
And then I love the fact that, like, Homer's is technically the worst, but he's just thinking of surface level, like, he didn't yell.
Exactly. I got off pretty easy.
So he's like, hey. And then very un-Flanders, like, even, like, Maude is calling him, he just, like, gets in the car and drives away. But that whole thing where he's listening to the Hawaiian tune, like I said last week, we say that all the time in our house, if someone's being annoying. Like someone's mid talking and the other one of us will just go.
I love when he gets there to the mental asylum or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just attacked all my friends and neighbors for trying to help me. I'd like to commit myself. Very well. Shall I show you to your room or would you prefer to be dragged kicking and screaming?
No, kicking and screaming, please.
And like the pitch of his like, no.
He's almost back to himself now. Like, he's just embracing everything.
He's like, oh yeah, so I've asked for this, but also like how would I react if this was against my will? Like,
yeah. And possibly my favorite scene, and again something that's used very frequently in our house,
of overused, like, I would say in real life.
But like whenever anything is like, where's the whatever, where's the keys, like, oh, they're in the kitchen. In the kitchen, may God have mercy on us all.
Ned Flanders, you're sure? No, I'll come right over, and may God have mercy on us all. Darling, there's an emergency at the hospital. Where are my shoes?
Oh, I think they're in the den.
In the den? May God have mercy on us all.
It's a great joke the first couple of times. But I much preferred his other stuff this time around.
Dr. Foster's
other stuff.
Yeah,
there's so many little bits of his character that I was like, oh yeah, as opposed to like that's the big joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I didn't realize it was as popular as it was. To be honest, is it? Yeah,
it's a big
one of those
like
overused Spider Pig gags.
No, I mean this is a good joke.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said it.
Hey, man. That fucking pig.
We'll save it for a later pod.
When he puts on the tape of him...
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's so good. Like,
how do you write that? Like, yeah. How do you think of Ned, prune it. Face, Dick Tracy, and prune mixing Tracy. Them up and making a hilarious joke?
Ned, stop it. And the bit that had me cracking up was when he's meeting the parents. And I like already Ned, know what you're he's like, say. Hey, get down from that bookshelf, please. Most of those books haven't been discredited yet.
The bit that I completely, probably the biggest laugh that I got was like, it's like, we don't believe in discipline, man. It's like, that's like telling Gene Krupa not to go boom, 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 bap, 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 boom, boom, boom. Like, who are they?
Yeah, and like, the dad is a way more effective character, I think, than the mom. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just funnier.
He's just funnier, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas. But maybe it's just the voice is funnier. Like,
yeah,
we don't believe in rules. We came up when we became freaky beatniks.
And I just love the fact that they made his parents beatniks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even in the previous episode where he's like, where the music starts playing, boom, boom, it's like, oh man, yeah. Nick's building all over my bones.
He's a real square, man.
But yeah, so there, that was a great addition to this episode, I have to say.
So you put him on the University of Minnesota Spankological Protocol. It's some good stuff here. Where
I like the visual there of just, and I like the timing of like as he's spanking him one
the beach ball,
like same timing beach ball and then back. You know,
it's good. Homer getting the call from he's like mental hospital. I don't know any Ned Flanders. <It's>
like, come on,
he's like the man who lived next door until his house blew down. Oh, him!
Literally, like yesterday. And I did like the line as well where he's like, and it worked. And Flanders is like, it sure did diddly it.
Yeah, you know, all right, Cam. Yeah. Easy there. I'm just trying to help. Like, yeah. Because it is such an interesting way to, like, not rewrite the character, but, like, give you... I don't think it's a cheat to be, like, every time he was saying diddly or whatever like that, like, is actually him holding in something.
Yeah, you know what
I
mean?
Like, I think it works really well, I have to say.
Like, yeah, it's a great addition to his... It's a string to his bow.
There's other times where they try and do this... Like, Armin Tanzarian is the worst example, but like...
Yes,
where it's like, mind. We're going to really, you know... Drastically put a whole different spin on this character, and you're like,
yeah,
oh no,
nowhere.
Yeah,
like they would in like a later season or something, where it's like, you used to. Well, I mean, I guess they did a little bit in the early ones, but it was became a staple on most of the later ones.
Like this one, I think works quite well because it's not a huge thing. It just gives him like an extra dimension.
Yes, you know? Exactly. I did like the scene where Dr. Foster's talking to Homer. He's like, we need someone so irritating. And all the while, the bubble gum is just going. Like, I was like, Homer, can you be that annoying? He's like, what? Get in the boot.
The bit before where they go, they're wearing the same tags, and it's like, you're free to roam the grounds. Just remember, one of our patients is a cannibal. Try to guess which one. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And you get a few well-known faces.
You get a John Swartz.
Hey, I was hoping you would have noticed him.
In one of the cells. And apparently there was a whole thing. When they welcome Ned back towards the end, someone's holding a sign that says Free John Swartz Welder.
Oh, cool.
Apparently he was like, it was like in reference to his reclusiveness.
Yeah, apparently he's very reclusive. I don't know if you saw that I tagged you in something on Twitter where he'd done like his first interview in ages.
You know what? I seen it and I couldn't look at it at the time. I actually forgot about it.
It's really good and there's some killer jokes in it. Like that you just like there's a whole paragraph of how he's like, oh yeah, I don't really know where this rumor came from about me and talking to this guy or whatever like that. You know, like Like, yeah, yeah. Our comedies are similar. And then the next question is, oh, okay, then who do you think is your biggest influence? And he names the guy that they were just talking about. And you're like, oh, like sharp as a tack, like, you know, like,
yeah. I must check that out, actually. Yeah, very good.
But did you notice who else was there?
Jay Sherman?
He was there.
The babysitter?
I'm going to need a name, Andy. I'm going to need to push it on a name for her.
I don't have a name.
The name is Miss Batts.
Oh, I never would have got it.
The Babysitter Bandit.
Season one?
I think it was season one because they were watching Happy Little Elves. If you remember, that used to be Lisa's TV show, and Itchy and Scratchy was Bart's.
Oh, yeah. It's mad because you wouldn't, like, even though Lisa's supposed to be the same age then as she is now, you wouldn't see her watching Happy Little Elves. What a normal 8-year-old would be watching.
Yes, exactly.
But what I liked about the scene with Homer is he's just reading from the cards and, like, it's not working. But every time the door goes up, you just see Ned. He's like, oh, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, like he's snapped back into himself here. Like, you know. And like when... First of all, I love the relationship between Foster and, like, the guy,
his number his intern, two, or like, whatever.
I love when it's like, he's like, go to level two. And he's like, past instances in which I profess to like you were fraudulent. And he's like, oh, well, I'll just have to try harder. And he's like, okay. Maximum antagonization.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I engage in intercourse with your spouse or significant other. Now that's psychiatry. And like the side turn and the animation, like,
yeah. And even like Flanders doesn't budge. It's like, very funny, wise guy. Yeah. And the whole thing with, like, you know, where Homer goes off script, he's like, did you write that?
And he's like, did you like it?
Did you like it?
And then the bit at the end where he's like, you know what it means? It means he's cured. Like, like, that's what it said. Yeah. But Homer's speech where he's like, you're afraid to be human.
I like that.
Yeah, it's really good. Where he's like, because humans hate things. We're obnoxious sometimes or whatever.
Yeah, it's actually quite, like, it's like, poetic in a way.
Maybe a few. Back east.
Very good.
Yeah, and then this is actually right at the end of the episode. I kind of forgot that, like, but...
Like, as soon as he says he hates the post office, which sort of...
his parents.
Just straight away, like, that my parents. And there's a little, like, bring.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's it, he's cured.
But I love where he's like, yeah, I hate the post office. Rush, rush, get you in, get you out. You know, there those machines in the lobby, they're even faster. No help there. You might even say, I hate the post office. Like, again, well-written, like, stuff.
And then that's kind of it then. He, like, when he comes out, they all welcome him. And he's like, if I don't like something, you're going to hear about it. He's like, and if you really tick me off, I'll run you down in my car.
And, like, just the way he's doing the, like, steering wheel motion, you're like, oh.
Slightly crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't care for the very last line.
No.
You so crazy. Like, no. Didn't care for that, but, you
could
know.
Have landed it a bit better, I have to say.
Yes. Should we get the ratings, Terry?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something.
Oh.
What did you think of this episode?
I thought I had some mixed feelings on it, I must say. I thought it was a bit slow at times, despite all the hurricane stuff. And I felt like once Ned lost it, it got very funny. But there was, even though the hurricane stuff was good, I liked the animation in it and stuff like that. But it notably picked up, I suppose, for me once Ned goes to visit the house that they've built. From that point on, it was excellent. I'd say it was good before that, and excellent from then on.
It's very funny. There's a lot of laughs in it.
Yeah. What about? Oh well, let me finish by saying my MVP will be Ned, and my rating will be an 8.2.
Oh, okay.
So.
No,
you raised your eyebrows. That's like a low, like, that's one. A low score. It's an 8.2 out of 10.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know.
What about you?
I how would I say this? It's a really good episode. It's a, like, compared to last week, you know, yes. It's a huge improvement. It's slighter than I remember. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, as in, it seems shorter and slighter. You right. know, like, there's not a lot on the bone here.
Yeah.
In terms of story. It was like, yeah. oh yeah, we're finished already. Like, you know, when it was like, hurricane happened, the house happened, they're in asylum. But it was like, it just seemed really quick. And like, that's, you know, fine. It moves along at a good pace. Some really, really good jokes. I don't know, like, there was something.
You know what it kind of felt like? It kind of felt like, barring that Ned, you so crazy, it felt like, I'll run you down in my car. Like, huh. Like, that could have been like 5 minutes to go, and then they wrap up properly. You know, it felt like yeah. they ended mid-episode. Yeah. Like, is his house gone now? Like, it's just back next week. You know what I mean?
He's like, Ned is my MVP anyway, because he's great in it. Like,
can I push you for a rating as well?
I'm going to go 8.7.
Okay.
Because there are
8.7.
The problems, and I don't have a lot of problems with it because I really enjoyed watching it. It's yeah. just the story wasn't what I remembered. You know what I mean? It wasn't as affecting as I remembered. But the jokes are really, really funny.
Yeah.
You know, like some of the writing, like we're saying, is inspired. That whole, like, top wise.
Yeah.
Or like, it's like, stop that, Ned.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. But like, there's lots of, and again, there's lots of lines that I would probably use every day specifically from this episode. Like that, try and find out which one. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. I use that all the time as well. So like, there's lots of, like, it's weird that I'm being in any way negative about something that like is usually influences the way I talk on a daily basis. But
yeah, I wouldn't even say
that's the level we're at.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're looking for, you know. Yeah, we're at the creme de la creme.
Can we get our plugs in, Mr. Sprites?
Sure. Why don't you tell the good people where they can find us online?
You can find us on Instagram. Well, you can find us on Twitter. Put it in H Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, which is really where you want to be following us. Twitter, we are there. But Instagram is where all the good stuff is. So it's at Put It in H Podcast, and you can find links there to everything we do. We have our other podcast, What's So Great About Marvel, just released Captain America Winter Soldier, unlocked from the Patreon vault.
You lucky, lucky people.
So there's at least 11 or possibly 12 free MCU podcasts there. If you like it, you can head on over to the Patreon. More on that in a second. And you can find merch. You can find lots of things there.
Did you say Patreon?
Yes, the Patreon.
Well, for the low, low fee of $5 a month, €450, and we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
You get access to our exclusive Players Club, where you get two of our sister podcasts, What's So Great About. Andy has said there, we've done a whole mini-series on the MCU. Got that in the bank. Andy also curated a lovely little 90s action movies mini-series. And now we're moving on to our third one. What's So Great About Ryan Gosling?
I'll tell you one thing.
Starting with The Notebook.
I have so much to say about Ryan Gosling's The Notebook. And I was considering even recording that one first tonight because I couldn't hold it in. But that's one that I can't wait to discuss. So okay. If you want to check it out, that's where it is.
Seems like there's going to be some fireworks there, folks.
Going to be something.
You also get two other bonus podcasts per month.
That's four thus far.
Four, sure. You get four a month. So two What's So Great About, two bonus ones on a wide range of topics. We get requests from, you know, our patrons themselves. We just did a lovely one there. Our top five track one, side one, track one. So basically our top five album openers.
Lovely feedback on that. Thank you very much.
It was such a blast to record. But like, we get into some music ones on there. They're always very fun. There's some ones where we pitch each other our perfect day. We pitch each other some movie ideas, our dream festival,
lots of wrestling, movies, yeah. All the stuff that we talk about that basically isn't The Simpsons.
But they're a free form, a jazz set, if you will.
It is a jazz set.
Yeah. So that's all there. It's where all the good stuff is happening.
It's where we go boom, 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 bap, 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 boom, boom, boom.
Sure.
Whereas here we're more like.
I don't know. I don't know now if you stuck that. Now, to be honest.
Okay. Well, we'll move on.
If you can't afford to pay for the Patreon, and we know times are tough with the pandemic and all that, what you can do is do me another favor. Now, in this episode.
Oh, what's he got? What's he got?
People were let into the quickie mart. Yeah. 70 at a time.
Okay.
Well, I don't need 70 star review. I need a 5-star. 5 stars is all I'm asking for a review. It really help us, you know, get some more ears on the product, shall we say. And, it really helps grow the podcast. And that's what we want to do. We want to be able to grow the podcast and get as good a quality as we can for you guys out there.
Yes, sir.
And finally, if, as we say every week, if you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening. Really is, it's level one of help you can give us there, and we really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Base support, we call it.
Andy calls it that.
But thanks very much for listening, and we've gotten some very good feedback lately on some of the last few episodes, so thanks very much.
We've
and
really also, been enjoying doing it.
Yeah, really have. I look forward to it every week.
Yeah.
But the what I want to say, we got some swag, Terry.
Yes, now, sir.
The lovely Kieran over at Simp Pins on Instagram. They have great Simpsons merch there, but sent me a whole thing. I'll put a post about it in a day or two, but like there's like pins, there's sticker, but like there's a Scorpio one, there's Hans Moleman, there's Homer with the bird on his head, Elephant Fresh.
Nice.
Like really good quality ones. So he did say he was gonna send it to us, and I was obviously very appreciative, but I didn't expect to get all that. So thank you again, Kieran. That is excellent.
While we're thanking people, I also want to thank Dankmus for giving us a lovely use of our theme song. I mean to do it every week, and I forget every week, so...
Inconsiderate bastard.
That's me, baby. Andy, what have we got coming up next week?
Next week,
I'll
Terry.
Tell you what we have next week. It's Homer's Insanity Chili episode. I can never remember the title of it.
El viaje misterioso de nuestro Homer.
That's the one.
This
is just your memory, Homer.
Bye, Homer. And your soulmate. On that note, folks, thanks very much.
Solid Johnny Cash-ish.
Yeah, we've given a load of impressions there.
You happy now, Newman?
Now enjoy this.
A friend came to me, sadness in his eye, told me that he wanted help. Country dies. Although I couldn't feel the pain, I knew I had to try. Now I'm asking all of you to help us save some.